Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Matt Chat. Going In Raw, Matt Chat. That's right. This is the Friendly Debate Show, where we tackle topics, thanks to our $20 and up patrons sending us videos.
You know what else you get when you get 20? Give us $20.
I'm happy you asked.
You get the Friendo Care Package. You know what's in the Friendo Care Package?
In fact, I do.
You get to choose. You get a poster where you have to choose what you use. Either this side, Mecha Santa from W Steve W, or Top Notch Super Best from Fun Wrestling.
Yeah.
You also get in the Friendo Care Package this autographed postcard right here, Going In Raw, autographed by us, and then we'll put your name on back. You also get stickers. This sticker here, this picture of Steven Larson as Stickafarm. And then you also get, this is the main event.
Yeah.
The comic book.
Comic book.
Going In Raw, the comic book. Patreon exclusive.
Yes, no one else gets that.
Yeah. It's $20. One $20 kick-in.
Only on takes one.
Patreon. And you can put your face on our on our show, Matt Chat. That's like four of those because you get to do that weekly.
And then you get all that stuff.
And you get all that stuff right there.
That's a good value.
It's great value.
Plus everything you get with the $10, $5, $1 tiers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, those are all great values.
It's all like live streaming. Anyways, so yeah, this is Matt Chat. We're on the road to the Royal Rumble. We've had some news, some pretty serious news earlier in the week with Enzo Amore. We have a question about that. Some other good questions from our awesome friendos.
Yes.
Our patrons.
Yes.
So we'll kick it off with a question about Enzo Amore from AO Worm.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's your boy AO Worm here. So Enzo Amore got fired for not letting WWE know ahead of time that there was a case pending against him for allegedly sexually assaulting / raping a young woman who, from what I've seen on social media and from news outlets, that has lied about stuff like this before this get a come up. So my question is, do you think they really wrongfully fired him before he was proven guilty in a court of law? And do you think if he is proven innocent, do you think WWE will give him his job back? Thanks, guys.
Thank you, AO Worm.
Thank you, AO Worm. Well, we're gonna immediately off the bat buck tradition, and just sort of talk a little bit about this.
Well, to answer his first question, was he fired too soon? No, I from what we've read, he was fired because he didn't inform the company of the allegations and the investigation,
which apparently had kicked off a couple of months ago.
Yeah, in October.
Yeah, in October.
My understanding from reading various sources is that was it. After, you know, we've heard reports of him, you know, behaving unprofessionally. He was kicked off a bus, was using a separate locker room.
Yeah.
Seems like he had alienated himself from a majority of his peers.
Yeah, the general consensus is this was sort of the last, not telling them that this was going on and then having it break the day of their, you know, arguably their biggest Raw of the year. I know the Raw after Mania is also big, but, you know, this is a pretty big deal. They're about to enter TV negotiations, and they're saddled with this. And that was the apparently, you know, the last straw.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. The other part of his question, if he's not charged or found not guilty, will they bring him back? So never is a really long time. I don't know that's – I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Obviously, they did put a lot of time, money, effort into what they felt was a very valuable addition to their roster. He was one of the most over personalities, one of the most distinct and unique personalities. So that if all this is found to be a sham, for example, and I have my own thoughts about it, but I'm not going to publicize them because I don't like that stuff is, I hate, because once you say one thing about what you think, then 10 people come back and say, well, what about this? And I don't like getting into a back and forth about this stuff.
Yeah.
It's just, it's let it play out the way it plays.
Yes. Out. Yeah. Let the legal procedures play out how it will.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. If he's not charged, if he's found not guilty, if the girl who's accusing him says, I made up the entire thing, would they, should they, will they bring him back? I don't know that they would, only because there was still everything else there.
Yeah.
And this seemed to be a firing based on not necessarily
this one event, but accumulation.
The validity of the accusations.
Yeah, it's the accumulation of various things that have happened.
And then for him to claim that he didn't know, according to sources, according to like what's been out there, he showed up to Raw 25 and claimed that he didn't know anything about these allegations.
No, he claimed he... He said he did. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But he never told them.
Then. Oh, I read that wrong. Okay. All right. So anyways, yeah, I don't think they will. This is a really like dicey subject. Number one, like, I don't know. I don't like talking about this stuff. It's like I'm here to talk about pro wrestling.
Yeah.
And I hate when this kind of stuff happens.
Yeah. Because
it's just messed up.
Oh, agreed.
So yeah. Thank you, A.O. Worm, for the question. We did not do the standard debate because I feel like this is kind of above the standard debate format.
Yeah, and I mean, both our answers would be like, is essentially, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's too soon to tell.
Yeah, it really is. Next up, we got a question from Juggernuts. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, friendos, it's Juggernuts with another video question. So, here's a headline for you. Roman Reigns is going to New Japan Pro Wrestling. Pretty interesting, right? Now, let's take into consideration what we already know is going on behind the scenes at WWE, his track record, the quality of the New Japan product, and the storylines that could possibly come of it if he was to go. Would people be willing to give him a chance, or would they just dismiss him as a guy who can't hang? I, for one, would be willing to give him a chance if he did go, because like with anything he does, I'm willing to meet him halfway. I mean, I could just think of all the possibilities with the storyline right now. I'm just wondering what it would be like. So, looking forward to hearing your thoughts on this. Thanks, friendos. Keep it up. Going in Raw is just too sweet, man. See ya. Thanks.
Thank you, Juggernuts.
Thank you, Juggernuts. I'll go first.
Okay.
He would fare terribly. He's not a very good wrestler. A. No, B. He's not a really outward personality. Doesn't really have a whole ton of like natural charisma. He looks cool. I don't know. Maybe if you start off as a young lion, maybe they can then build up on that. I think they would, in a heartbeat, they would jump on the opportunity to have Roman Reigns because, as we know, they're trying to establish a relationship with the WWE, with their talents, with, you know, high caliber professional wrestlers who have had a lot of exposure in the WWE. We've seen this with Chris Jericho, but I don't know. I just don't think he'd do very good. I think he's not that great of a wrestler. What, is he going to all of a sudden be a 5-star match machine?
Here's the thing, though.
No.
Here's the thing, though. How many times have we seen wrestlers who wrestled outside of WWE go to WWE and they've been able to do half of what they've done outside of the company?
Name some examples.
I just watched Shinsuke Nakamura versus Kota Ibushi this last weekend. It's one of the most phenomenal wrestling matches I've ever seen. Yeah, the basics of what Nakamura does in WWE can be traced back to New Japan. But there's so much more going on there, character-wise, in terms of his moves, in terms of how he utilizes his moves in character, that we're not seeing, that we haven't seen since he's been WWE. It happens. Same with Finn Balor. His Prince Devitt work in New Japan is miles ahead of what he's doing right now, both in terms of how he wrestles in the ring, more so it's how he's utilizing his character in ring.
Yeah, but Roman Reigns is a product of WWE developmental. You're talking about people who had something.
That. No, I understand that.
Then they had to chop it in half.
Let me finish.
This is a guy who we don't know he can double up what he can do.
But we don't know he can't double up what he can do.
I don't know, man. I kind of feel like we've seen what Roman Reigns can do.
No, he's busted out some. Remember that one week where he's like, Roman Reigns doesn't know any submission moves. And next Raw, he busted out 2 submission moves. There's more going on there. Than I think we know.
There's
a built-in story. On his interview with Corey Graves, Roman Reigns said he was the best in-ring performer in the world.
Oh, my God.
Kenny Omega took umbrage to that.
Well, yeah, he should, because he is actually one of the best performers in the world.
But there's a built-in storyline there. Kenny can bring Roman Reigns to at least a 4¾-star star match.
I'll be honest. I would totally watch Roman Reigns versus Okada.
Yeah.
It would be fascinating. Don't do that, because I'm not conceding the point.
I think you are.
I would totally see it. But I don't know. I wouldn't put him up there. It's like them saying, yeah, we're going to go after Goldberg. I don't know. Goldberg's not going to have any great matches in New Japan. Roman Reigns wouldn't have any great matches in New Japan. Yeah, what do we watch New Japan for?
What's your benchmark for a great match? If we're going by star ratings, 4?
5 stars.
5 stars. 4.5.
You should be able to put on a 4-star match.
I think Roman Reigns could do that in New Japan.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Everybody, who's a better wrestler, him or Cody Rhodes? Yeah, I kind of waffle on that too.
I might say Roman Reigns.
And Cody hasn't had great matches in New Japan. He does great character work.
Yeah.
But I don't see Roman doing that.
Here's the thing about Roman that might give him the advantage over Cody. Roman can and does and will work a fast pace. I feel like Cody's more of a deliberate wrestler, which is fine. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that style. But if Reigns might not be up in the same league as Omega or Okada in terms of storytelling, he can at least keep the pace fast.
Yeah.
So you're never disinterested.
Yeah.
I mean, all of Reigns' best matches he's had WWE, his matches against AJ, several of his matches he had while defending the Intercontinental title were good because for the most part, the pace was fast. He can work a fast pace. He works his butt off in the ring. Put him in the ring against Omega, who can work an extremely fast pace. That would be fantastic. Okada tends to work a bit more of a deliberate pace, but he's such a good storyteller, I feel like he could elevate Reigns to a really good match. Also, I want to see Suzuki get his hands on Roman Reigns.
Only if Roman Reigns is young line. Here's a role for Roman Reigns if he goes to New Japan, and it's one he might be able to excel at. My thing is this. I'm trying to transplant the character, the only character of Roman Reigns that I've ever known. Chris Jericho has gone through multiple iterations of his character throughout his career.
Yes.
Finn Balor, we saw him as Prince Devitt. Well, hold on a second, Trent. I think we used up a little, like, enough reels for a couple Matt chats. Last week we got
tone it down.
We got some flack.
I'll tone it down. But if we mention Prince Devitt, we have to at least say real ones.
I haven't seen a lot. There hasn't been a lot of variation in Roman Reigns' character, so I don't have a frame of reference. I just think of him doing his big dog thing.
I know, but here's the thing. In New Japan, there seems to be a lot more freedom in terms of people developing the character on their own.
Here's where that could be played as a strength, perhaps. If Roman Reigns took over the Shibata role, that's where it could work. The guy who simply comes in, he kicks ass, he works a little stiff. And he would have to shore up his,
his ground game a bit.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying like, you know, just make him new Shibata.
Yeah, I know.
But that kind of character wise. Yeah.
No, I know what you mean.
I think could maybe work for him.
Let me ask you something. Who do you think came up with "put that beef away"? Roman Reigns' best line ever.
I'm pretty sure it was Roman off the cuff. That's not going to work in New Japan.
I'm not saying that whatever he's given really strict scripted stuff, it's not good.
Yeah, I know.
Whenever he's off the cuff, it's way better.
It's better.
"Put that beef away" was great.
Wow, that was one throwaway line that tickled us for a couple of weeks. Don't overblow that one.
There was another thing. Oh, and the crowd, that one time the crowd was chanting something at him. And he said, "I've been all over the world and never heard that before."
Oh, they were chanting at
Miz.
Miz saying, yeah, like your
Miz is awesome or
something like that. Yeah.
So when he can improv fairly well.
Yeah, I know. The more important part of this is, would Roman ever? I feel like Roman's in an interesting spot because I don't know what he would do if the WWE suddenly vanished.
Yeah.
I don't know that he'd go to New Japan. I don't know what his next step would be.
Well, I'm sure Impact would throw a ton of money at him.
Well, of course they would. For like a per day date. I get the feeling that for him, it would be go to Hollywood and try to be in movies.
Could be.
Because I don't know that he'd go to New Japan. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who... you and I know that New Japan is not lowering yourself by going there. I wonder if he would feel that way. If it's like, well, it's not WWE. I'm not getting paid. And it's not even a money thing. It's like, it's not the WWE. I'm in New Japan with a bunch of pro wrestlers. You know? I think Roman views himself as a sports entertainer.
Oh, I don't know.
Not a pro wrestler.
I don't know.
I get that feeling.
Okay.
And I don't know that he'd lower himself to go to some other promotion, yeah.
I don't know.
I think he'd probably sooner go to Hollywood.
He'd go straight to PWG.
Oh, I'd love that. I think he'd love that.
Yeah.
People think that. I think that would be fun.
That would be tons of fun.
My ultimate dream match would be John Cena in PWG.
Yeah.
Against like Joey Janela.
That would be great.
Man,
Joey Ryan.
Yeah, that'd be good too. Janela needs to slow it down. Yeah. I've been watching some GIFs of his. My God, man. You're going to need that neck in like a couple years. Mm-hmm. Don't get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Next from Christian. There you go. From Christian. He's got a question about Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
See what he has to say.
Hey, friendos. Just to design the confusion, it is the Hall of Famer Christian here with another Matt Chat question. Since this is the weekend of TakeOver and the Royal Rumble, I wanted to ask a question that relates to both. Dolph Ziggler, in a very peculiar time in his career, just dropped the U.S. title to no one. What would be better for the WWE as a whole? If Dolph makes a shocking return, number 30 in the Royal Rumble and wins, or gets a restart, a refresh, a rebrand down in NXT, shopping up with guys like Adam Cole in the Undisputed Era and Aleister Black. Thank you, guys. Too sweet.
Thank you, Christian.
Thank you, Christian.
The Hall of Famer.
Yeah, so what do you like better? Him showing up in the Rumble?
Yes.
Number 30, okay.
Our predictions video is up by now. If you've watched that, you'll know that Dolph Ziggler is my dark horse to win the Rumble, mostly based on an article I read on Cage Side Seats.
Good job,
which laid out a very compelling, reasonably compelling argument in favor of Dolph winning the Rumble. In short, it is this. He won the U.S. title, dropped the U.S. title. He's not going to come back just to compete for the U.S. title again.
Yeah.
Because if the U.S. title meant anything to him, he would have held on to it in the first place.
Right.
He wants to come back, or if he were to come back, he would come back, win the Rumble, go after the WWE title against AJ Styles.
Mm-hmm.
To prove that he is the best in-ring performer in the world. And who better to put him up against to put on that caliber match than the actual best in-ring performer in all WWE, AJ Styles.
AJ Styles.
So it's not like I'm necessarily looking forward to this happening. I mean, I used to be a pretty massive Dolph fan, but nowadays not so much, just mostly based on how he's been booked. But if there's any way to revive some interest in Dolph, I guess this is how to do it.
That would be the most underwhelming Royal Rumble win maybe in history, unless the match is booked properly. It all comes down to the match.
How about this? You know, he's been doing that thing with entrances.
Yeah.
What if, say, Daniel Bryan music hits?
Oh, no. Oh, no. You can't do that.
And then...
You can't do that.
And then Dolph comes out.
Oh, you can't do
that. Or CM Punk.
That's Philly. They would riot.
What better way to get heel heat?
That'd be terrible. You'd be so fired if that happened. no, I actually like this idea for him going to NXT and doing a slight... Actually, I've come around to it.
Okay.
Because I have to make this argument, so I need to convince myself. And I'm actually kind of convinced here. Dolph Ziggler going to NXT. So here's the thing about Dolph Ziggler. There have been times in the 10 or so years Dolph has been around, however long it's been, that I've really liked Dolph Ziggler. Mm-hmm. The ingredients are within Dolph Ziggler somewhere.
Yeah.
This is a move that at first everybody would collectively go, oh, are you serious? Is this a Vince thing? Is he just using NXT as a dumping ground now, Dolph Ziggler? Dolph has all the ingredients. He is still one of the best in-ring performers that they have. He's just never used right. NXT is known for all the wrestling being basically better than the main roster. Whatever it is, they let them do what they can do best, and then when they get to main, it usually isn't quite there.
Yeah.
So if you go down to NXT, we might see a Dolph Ziggler that we haven't seen before, somebody whose full potential in the wrestling world has been unlocked. I think Dolph could pull off an NXT rebrand. It would just have to be, you'd have to put it in the hands of Triple H, Michael Cole, whoever actually does the creative in NXT that does such a great job. Dude, when Johnny Gargano got swerved by Tommaso Ciampa, I never really thought, I was like, okay, well, maybe like 205 Live, but I'm not sure I really want to see him in this role as a singles guy. And here we are today. Yeah. He's one of my favorite singles competitors.
Yeah.
NXT has the magic formula for whoever comes through there. And Dolph Ziggler, we know, based on his history, has the ingredients. I think it could succeed. I think it could be cool.
Here's the thing about that option, too, that I like, is I've been saying for a while, if you want to elevate, and I know in terms of wrestling, it's already surpassed main roster for the most part, elevate NXT to be comparable with Raw and SmackDown, you need people who go to NXT who want to stay there.
Mm, yeah.
And if Dolph instead of framing
it's a logical storyline progression is what you're going
to
say.
But also instead of framing him going to NXT as a demotion,
yeah,
like we saw, you know, like with Zack Ryder essentially, mm-hmm. he goes over there and says, this is where the actual best wrestling happens, here in NXT.
Yeah.
I'm going to come here and show that I am the best and I'm going to dominate here.
Yeah. You know, dude, and it's funny that you say that because that would be perfect. And honestly, it would have been perfect had he threw down the United States Championship that he just won. And then in the very next takeover,
challenge
which would be
Almas.
Now, he comes out and he challenges Almas. But it would have to be closer to the actual take, like the day before or the week before the go-home.
Yeah.
He says, I'm not defending this at pay-per-view. Then he shows him in NXT. That would be such a great way to build so much buzz. And it wouldn't be about, oh, it's a dumping ground. It's, oh, my God. Somebody just called themselves down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
To be there.
Yeah.
That could be really good. What a great situation. See, first when I heard this question, I was like, man, I got to argue this crap. We just came up with a slam bang idea.
Yeah, that's a money idea.
Money idea. Maybe, hey, if we do Steven Larson books NXT.
There you go. Dolph, the first call down.
We'll have call downs. Exactly. Next.
Next from the cat, Daryl Takahashi.
Let's see what he has to say.
What's good, Steven Larson? Many friendos out there. It's cat Daryl Takahashi. My question for Matt Chat this week is, let's assume the best for the All-In show. It's in Chicago, and it does have CM Punk wrestling there. Who do you think would put on the best match with CM Punk at the All-In show? Thanks, boys.
Thank you, the cat.
Thank you, the cat. I feel like the cat could be like a voiceover guy, like a movie voiceover guy.
Yeah.
Hello, Steven Larson.
Yeah.
Anyways,
you go first. Who would be the ideal opponent for CM Punk if he were to appear at the All-In show?
Well, it's not so far out of the realm of possibility that some actual New Japan guys, like Kenny's going to be there.
Yeah.
It's possible we could see Rainmaker, Kazuchika Okada, have him come down to take on CM Punk. Punk. I think that'd be real. Yeah, man. Okada, look, man, here's the thing. If CM Punk comes back, he's going to want, I would think, one of his goals would be to pick up kind of where he left off, calling himself the best in the world, right? The best wrestler in the world right now is Okada Reborn. And that's who CM Punk should fight. Kazuchika Okada dodges two Rainmakers, eats a third Rainmaker, kicks out of it, GTS, Okada kicks out of that, Rainmaker pins, CM Punk loses.
Okay. You mentioned the best in the world scenario, and I agree with you that Okada is, if not the best wrestler in the world, one of the top three. Oof. The whole program between Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho was about who was the best in the world.
Oh, sure.
Kenny won that match. Mm-hmm. Therefore, Kenny can lay claim to the title, at least in New Japan canon, as best wrestler in the world, mm-hmm. based on that feud.
Yeah.
So the right answer to this is Kenny Omega.
Okay.
Kenny Omega versus CM Punk.
Okay.
CM Punk was never the greatest athlete when it came to wrestling, but he was a very good storyteller. Kenny Omega is a very good storyteller, as is Okada. But I think a match between a hard-hitting match. Actually, no, back this up. Correct answer is Minoru Suzuki in MMA match. That's what I want to see. Minoru Suzuki versus CM Punk in a shoot MMA match.
Yeah, I like that.
That's what I want to see. Anyways,
it lasts like a minute, though.
CM I know. Suzuki would destroy him. Okada.
They probably ride bikes at each other.
That'd be great. Kenny Omega is right now one of the hottest wrestlers in the world.
Mm-hmm.
If you put him in a match against CM Punk, that place will sell out. They'll sell out 10,000 seats
sure,
easily.
Yeah, yeah.
I might hop on the plane and go wherever it is.
Yeah, I'd go with you on that one.
So that's the correct answer. It's Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega can bring anybody to a great match.
Don't you? Isn't there it's kind of a problem there, though?
What?
Crowd's going to not know really what to cheer for.
They're going to chant for excellent wrestling, Steve.
Oh, man. I think...
Both these guys.
Oh, man. I think it should be Okada because Okada can play a heel.
And Kenny can't?
He can, but nobody wants a heel Kenny right now. Nobody wants that.
CM Punk's a great heel, too. He could play heel.
Oh, he's not going to be a heel.
Depends.
Are you kidding me?
I don't think you need to worry about it.
It's going to be in Chicago, right?
Heel. Hasn't been announced. No. You don't have to worry about that. If it's an excellent match, hotly anticipated dream match, you don't need face heel.
No, absolutely.
Competition.
Nah, man. You need somebody to root for.
Both these guys. I like wrestling.
I want to Gato gets on the mic, and he runs down CM Punk in his native language, in Japanese, and he runs him down, says, you quit to go to that fake UFC crap. And then you're coming back in our arena. I've got Rainmaker in my side, in my corner. Get him, Okada.
All right. Kenny.
Anyways.
Kenny's the right answer.
Definitely Okada. Okada's the best wrestler in the world.
Omega's pretty good, too.
You know, Okada brought Cody Rhodes to like a 5.5-star match.
I know. Well, we'll probably see Kenny versus Cody this year. We'll see what Kenny can get out of Cody.
That's a good point.
It might be at the All-In show.
All-In. Next. Adam Mayhem, our good friendo Adam Mayhem. When's that show of his?
February 3rd.
He's a friendo.
Colonial Theater, Sacramento, California. We're going to be there.
See if you guys can actually hear what he's saying in this video from Adam Mayhem.
My fake question is this. When we've seen what's going on with 205 Live, how it feels like a matting purse, and we've seen how everything looks for the mixed match challenge. So here's my question to you guys. If you could choose to do one of the two things, we could either have the Mixed Match Challenge be a canon thing, like a every week type of thing, like a real thing, or would you rather have the 205 guys be joined by the UK guys and have their own touring party? That's my question. Excited.
Thank you, Adam Mayhem.
Thank you, Adam Mayhem. Did you catch what he was saying?
I think I got the general idea, yeah. I hope so, because we're going to answer the question as if I got the general idea correct.
All right, you go first.
Oh, I go first. So right now you got Mixed Match Challenge and 205. Is 205 Live? I haven't watched it yet this week. It was still a half hour, right? Or is it a full hour?
Yeah, it was a half hour, dude.
So right now.
Yeah, no, it went from 10. I think they went from 10:20. So it's like 40
minutes.
I think it was
okay.
Like 40 minutes.
So Mixed Match Challenge and 205 Live are sharing an hour-long time slot right now, which... it's a bummer for 205 Live because when it's hitting right, when they're programming it right,
really?
It is one of the best pieces of WWE programming they put out on a weekly basis.
Sure.
It's really good.
Yeah.
So if you take the wrestling excellence that is 205 Live, some of the creative storylines they've implemented in the past,
mm-hmm.
add to it
mm-hmm.
competitors from the United Kingdom division,
mm-hmm.
who, as we've seen, for the most part, put on excellent matches,
mm-hmm.
especially if Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, Mark Andrews, Trent Seven, Wolfgang
mm-hmm.
are involved. You have the makings for a very, very compelling, interesting, and entertaining hour-long television
what
show.
What would you call it? It's 205 Live. It's Cruiserweights.
You would need a complete rebrand.
Yeah, right.
You would need to do it in a smaller venue.
Yeah.
Take the one they did in Lowell, Massachusetts. It was like, maybe 500 people.
Just shoot it there all the time.
Yeah, just shoot it there all the time.
Yeah.
I think that place has a reputation for being traditionally a hot crowd. That's why mm-hmm. they chose it for one of the 205 Live shows. Pete Dunne. Everybody loves Pete Dunne.
Who doesn't love Pete Dunne?
He'd add a lot of buzz to the show, to the proceedings.
Yeah.
Get people excited for it. I think it's a fairly decent idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it would actually give the United Kingdom competitors something to do.
Well, that's the most important thing. You want to give them something to do.
We have a takeover this weekend, and Pete Dunne isn't announced to be taking part. Hopefully,
doesn't look good right now.
Hopefully, he'll make a surprise entrance into the Rumble.
Yeah.
But even that seems like a bit of a long shot. We need these United Kingdom competitors on WWE television on a regular basis because they are great. I want to see them wrestling against, interacting with 205 Live competitors. And ultimately, I want all of them to interact with people on Raw.
Yeah. Listen, that's a mess of an idea. It's an absolute mess of an idea. You can't just be ramming divisions into each other.
Best wrestling show.
And hope a like amazing star will happen. No.
They have amazing stars already.
No, I'm talking about like galactically speaking. Like, you know, when like two small stars and they go into each other and they just like turn into, or like galaxies do that stuff.
When two stars collide, doesn't they explode? They don't just like form one giant star.
Don't they just make one big star?
I don't know.
What do they do?
I didn't pay the attention to that bit in astronomy class.
Do stars collide?
There's a song about it.
Galaxies do. I'd imagine the center of it. Well, center
isn't
of
the Power
galaxies.
Man 5000 song? Oh, when worlds collide. Sorry.
I wonder if, man. Anyways.
Hold on, continue. I'll look that up.
What is the most entertaining thing right now in the WWE, regardless
okay, hold on,
of
hold
brand.
Hold on, hold on. One or two things happen. This is when neutron stars collide. They either merge together to form a new, larger neutron star, really? Or they collapse into a black hole.
Yeah, okay. Anyways, what if like two red giants collide? Anyways, listen. What's the most entertaining thing that's been going on in the WWE? It's those stupid mixed match challenge iPhone video vlogs that they've been doing. The little reveal videos where one person legitimately or both people legitimately didn't know who their partner was going to be. And then the little build up videos. I can't get enough of Sami Zayn and Becky Lynch and their little videos. I can't get enough of Charlotte and Bobby Roode arguing over robes. It is great. I can't get enough of Carmella training with Pancakes and the New Day. It's so much fun. The Miz seems genuinely tickled to be there with Asuka. Those videos are great. You know why? Because the people are acting real. And that's what I want. I would love for, if it meant we got more of these kind of non-canon-ish videos out of these superstars who are all wonderfully charismatic, but they're not usually allowed to show that side of themselves on regular TV. And the matches have been fun. It's cool. It's on Facebook. They've got all these weird hearts and weird faces floating around the screen, which I don't really like. Mike Chioda sitting there just calling out finishes to the match. Oh, man. Give me Mixed Match Challenge every week, man. 205 Live is a wasteland, man. That's going to be canceled within a couple of weeks. UK division, they're going to – that tile's not going to – they're not doing anything with that. There's nothing's going to happen to those guys. They're all going to go back. They're all going to be out of work, working in the docks. I don't know. Anyway, no, I love all those people. But yeah, my answer is Mixed Match Challenge. I don't think 205 Live and UK division is like a good fit for each other. So I'm going to say give me Mixed Match Challenge.
I don't know about that because most of the competitors in the UK division,
they're all tiny babies.
They're all 205 and under.
They're all little. See, I don't mind. Here's the thing. I don't mind if there's somebody in the UK division that's a good fit for 205 Live.
Like Mark Andrews?
But don't put Wolfgang over there.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, he doesn't fit.
Yeah, Mark. Oh. Yesterday, Mark Andrews should have been on 205 Live.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Tyler Bate would be a good fit, too.
Jordan Devlin.
Yeah.
Baby Balor.
Yeah.
Who'd you say?
Tyler Bate.
Yeah, I like that, except I prefer him in a tag team with Trent Seven.
Yeah.
Because they're never going to push Trent Seven as like a big single star.
Which is unfortunate.
But as a tag team, I think they could get a big push. I really do.
Yeah.
So anyways. Next, our good friend O. Patrick Sparks, who is delivering this video next to apparently
some sort of beehive or a wasp nest.
Let's see Patrick's video.
Hey, friendos, Pat here. So, WWE and New Japan obviously have their own streaming services in New Japan World and the WWE Network, and even Impact's on Twitch. But usually I find myself watching PWG clips on YouTube and thought it would be beneficial for them to have a streaming service of their own. So, what I want you to debate is why that would be beneficial for their product and their company all around, and why it would be most detrimental. So, you guys pick what you want to debate. Have fun, friendos. Bye.
Thank you, Patrick. I hope you didn't get stung.
Be careful.
I know.
Anyways.
You go first.
I go first. Should PWG have a streaming service? Yeah. Their main business model appears to be selling DVDs.
Yeah, man.
And they're 400. Now, I think they run those shows like monthly, I think.
Yeah.
But it's like, or 10 a year, something like that. You know, it's like, granted, you know, if you do the math, the gate's pretty decent, I guess. But, you know, if you want to make enough money to be able to lure the likes of John Cena to your PWG show so that I can go there and see, it's enough with the DVDs, man. I mean, come on. Who has a DVD player anymore? Like, nobody. Yeah, you do, but you're old. You know, kids, they don't. Where am I going to? Let's say this is a DVD. Let's say this picture of John Cena's DVD. How do I put it on my phone? How am I supposed to watch this stuff? In GIF form? Because that's how everybody watches PWG these days. The best live wrestling experience you will ever go to. Bar none.
Yes.
Absolutely. But come on. DVDs? No. Give me a streaming service. My God, you can make money hand over fist. And that's what this business is all about. Making all that money, Larson. Get rid of the DVD. You know, granted, their design aesthetic is really great.
Yeah, it is.
Nobody uses DVDs anymore. Sell posters of what would have been your DVD art. Signed, autographed posters. And then, yeah. Get rid of the DVDs. No, man, give me a streaming service. I mean, didn't you say they're on like high spots?
Hold on, that's part of my argument.
Well, technically, they're on a streaming service. Yeah. But they need to have their own streaming service.
No.
Yeah, high. I don't even know about high spots. I know that they push it in being the elite, I think.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can stream PWG content. It's all, you know, like.
Is it $10 a month for all their content?
I mean, there's a subscription.
Plus live stream, live shows. There's a
subscription
shows.
Option for high spots. I didn't look that closely into it, where you can subscribe for $10. You can also rent individual shows, PWG shows, anywhere from $4.99 to $3.99. The issue is that they're not current. I think the most current ones they have are 2016.
Oh, that's not real then.
It is real because there's a wealth of great wrestling in the, 15-year history of Pro Wrestling Guerrilla.
Can I get one from September of last year? No, because it's 2017.
2016, I mean. It's all from 2016.
Right, I know. That's why I'm asking you. Can I get
one? That's not true. They actually have Mystery Vortex in 2017. That's the most recent thing they have on there.
That was their last show. Oh, no.
A year ago.
That was... Oh.
So I mean, they're exactly a year behind.
No, man, come on. Look.
Look, here's
Dave
the thing.
Meltzer, hold on a second. Dave Meltzer doles out them 5-star reviews
yeah.
on every PWG show because he's sitting there in the front row with his little legal pad.
Ooh, taking notes, yeah.
What a great match this was. And then he puts up his little review on the newsletter, and everybody's like, oh, man, where's that PWG match?
But don't you think that's...
I can't watch it.
That's part of the reason why people are so hyped to go to the shows, because... If you want to enjoy the show immediately, the only way you can do it is to buy that ticket and get there.
Nah, man.
Scarcity drives demand in this case.
That's true.
If there's only 400 people allowed in the building and you want to be one of those 400 people, you will do it near anything to get one of those tickets.
Yeah.
They are pretty good about releasing DVDs in a timely fashion within a couple months after the show. This has been their business model for years.
Yeah, you got to change with the times.
I mean, they're doing just as well as they ever have.
How do you
know?
They
probably see... They're putting in more
shows. They're losing talent left and right. Ricochet, Candice LeRae, War Machine, they all just left PWG.
If they streamed, that wouldn't have changed.
Maybe it would have.
No. There's no reason for them to change. The business model works fine for them right now. I'd say rather than try to stream right away, find a slightly larger venue.
Let me ask you something.
600 people rather than 400.
Oh, that's sacrilege right there. You can't leave that American Legion Hall. That's
you know, they didn't always have shows there. They've had shows other places in L.A.
When's the last time they had a show somewhere else?
I don't know, probably like 8 years.
Oh, my God. That's like been forever a while. Ago. You know, people have been like, literally people are younger than 8 years old. Sorry. Anyways, I had one other point. Oh, let me ask you something. When is the DVD going to officially go the way of the VHS tape?
You can still buy VHS tapes.
Yeah, I know that. I have some in my garage if you want to buy some of my VHS tapes. I'm saying, when are you not going to be able to find
Here's
them
the
on
thing.
Shelves at Walmart?
Here's the thing. Whenever you have these formats that seem like they're going away, they always come back around. Lately, there's been a huge boom in cassette tapes. You can buy cassette tapes again. Vinyl as well. The nostalgia factor will always play a role in things.
Can you buy cassette tapes from Target?
I don't know. You might be able to.
Really?
Yeah.
Of like new material?
No. You can buy blank tapes from Target, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, you can buy blank
you
tapes.
You have to order the
for weirdos
tapes.
Recording their manifestos.
But you can order like tapes of stuff.
You know, my dad brought over a tape of me when I was 3 years old and he was talking to me about like stuff. It's really adorable. I need to put it up on, I don't know, our Patreon or something. Anyways. Whatever generation of consoles that comes out, like PS4, Xbox, whatever.
That's strictly streaming, no physical.
Yeah, whenever the video game disc dies, PWG needs to be ready. They need to be ready because the only reason there's disc drives anymore is for that stuff. It's the only reason.
Yeah.
And then like there's also those guys that are like hanging out at Hollywood and Highland, like passing out their DVDs. They need to be passing out like, I don't know, business cards with their SoundCloud address on them,
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what people are going to do.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Next, we got a question from Thayer Thabata.
Let's see what Thayer has to say.
Hey, guys. Thayer Thabata here with another Matt Chat question, and I think it's finally time that we settle who won the Funday Night Wars. Larson, you get to argue that, no question, the better show was W Steve W. Steve, you get to argue for Fun Wrestling that it was, hands down, the best car wrestling promotion ever. Same thing with Larson, you get W Steve W. Steve, you get Fun Wrestling. Debate. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Thayer Thabata.
Thank you, Thayer.
What a loaded question. The answer is obvious.
Yeah, it is.
It's Fun Wrestling. Number one. it had the best logo, maybe the best logo anybody in our company has designed in the Fun Wrestling logo. Celebrities like James Willems from Funhouse has worn it in public. It's everywhere. It's our second biggest selling shirt behind the Slow Wolf Baron Corbin shirt. So that's a fact. Number two, it was born out of pure passion. You went rogue, correctfully, rightfully so, and created Fun Wrestling all on your own, surrounding the greatest character in the history of Fun Wrestling, Top Notch Super Best, who is right here. The only real choice when you're putting up this poster from the Crendo Care Package is Top Notch Super Best, not this pile of human trash. Mecha Santa, screw that guy.
I didn't think he was human.
Right. And then, so you had that. Look at the star power in Fun Wrestling. Hey, Butch Bacon, Captain Fun Wrestling. Captain fucking Fun Wrestling? Get the fuck out of here. You had Fun Hoss. You had Boss Hoss.
Yeah.
You had, you actually had a women's division. W. Steve W. had what he called the hardcore division, which is probably sexist. And then he didn't even do anything with it. You had stars galore. Oh, don't even get me started on the Empire of Pain. Wow. Can you spell destiny? I can. E-M-P-I-R-E space O-F space P-A-I-N. And the list goes. Larson Libre Action, the best action in professional wrestling, Fun Wrestling, regardless of the fact that W. Steve W. might have done better numbers because of my ability to jam people like John Cena, Lenny Omega in the product. Fun Wrestling, creatively I think critically acclaimed, speaking wise, was the superior product.
That was awfully nice. Here's one reason why WCW won. W. Steve W. won. Hand me that poster again. Hand me that poster. Who came out on top in the end?
Oh, Mecha Santa. Yes, this guy. That's right.
Ultimately, the power lied with him.
Yeah.
He left the whole season with the H title. Therefore, he is the victor. WCW, for no other reason, has to win. Here's another reason. As you mentioned in your argument, you found a way to bring over stars, massive stars that I couldn't do. I had to create my own stars so I couldn't afford to bring anybody over. Fun Wrestling was cheap. Yeah. Put all our money in Top Notch's luxury box, in excellent production values, in creative. No money for talent. Mm-hmm. You brought over, as you mentioned, John Cena, Lenny Omega, Kazuchika Okada.
Oh, yeah.
Huge stars you brought over to pop ratings.
Yeah.
And that helped you gain the edge in the battle, the Funday Night Wars. You probably won the ratings battle. I will concede that. Also, you did create some stars of your own. SAAK.
Oh, yeah.
The entire Golden Powers faction.
Oh, yeah.
W. Steve W. is so successful, it spawned a separate promotion, World Golden Powers Wrestling, sure, only for it to go back to W. Steve W. W. Steve W. isn't just one promotion. It's a variety, a multitude. NXT Steve spawned, sure, from W. Steve W.
Sure.
Matthew Auday. Another star.
Huge star.
Made.
Massive star.
Pearly Dentata.
Oh, yeah.
When he was unveiled as Llama President.
Yeah.
Wow. Shocking revelation.
Boy, that was good stuff.
That was good stuff.
Yeah.
I can go on and on why W. Steve W. won the Funday Night Wars.
You know who really won the Funday Night Wars?
Viewers like you.
You did. That's who won it.
Yep.
You did. No, those were fun times. Those were great.
They were fun.
I know. Get back to that stuff. In fact, if you want to find out what happened in the immediate aftermath of, might I say, one of maybe the most epic match in the history of Creator Wrestling.
Yeah.
That I am legitimately proud of what we did at Interdimension Tension. Mecha Santa versus Top Notch Super Best was absolutely amazing. If you want to find out what happened, you can pick up this comic. Look at, there's Top Notch right there. Not going to show you anymore.
Yeah, don't spoil anything.
But, yeah, find out in the Friendo Care Package, $20 of Patreon.
Yes.
We have one last question.
A text question.
From Inemojin Vidal. I hope I said that correctly. She always gives me crap because I'm not good at her name. Yeah, it's a text question. No video. She asks, in strikes, which is more devastating, stronger, or stylish? Upper body strikes or lower body strikes, meaning punches, elbows, clotheslines, or kicks, knees, shins? In short, what would you rather have, punches or kicks?
Can I go first?
You go ahead.
Give me upper body stuff. Fists, clotheslines, elbows. Mm-hmm. What's one of the most devastating finishers in wrestling right now?
Oh, Rainmaker.
Correct.
Yeah.
What is? What do you utilize to deliver that mighty blow?
Oh, the
arm.
The arm.
Arm, it's upper arm. Body.
It's the arm.
The knockout punch
yeah.
that Big Show used to do. What do you utilize for that?
I'm pretty sure it's a fist.
Fist.
Closed fist.
Fist.
Yeah.
Austin Aries' finisher. What did he utilize?
Five-star forearm.
Yeah.
Yeah, forearm.
Forearm.
So, phenomenal forearm.
Yes. All sorts of upper body extremity moves. Mm-hmm. They're devastating.
Mm-hmm.
See, here's the thing about I would suppose that kicks would be have more impact from a force behind them because you got stronger muscles in your lower body. But here's the thing. They take longer to deliver.
Yeah.
A quick punch, clothesline, elbow can come out of nowhere and incapacitate someone nearly immediately. I like that. I like the aspect that you can just deliver it. Bang!
Whoa.
Quickly.
Didn't see it
coming. Before anybody could counter it in any way.
Big time.
Give me that.
I'll bolster your argument a little bit more before I go on to win this debate. The base hit.
Yeah.
The Hogan base hit in WCW World Tour.
Clothesline.
Was a clothesline. But the answer is kick. You know why? Because kicks bring in the money and the power. You go to Hot Topic and you see the merchandise being sold hand over fist from who? The Young Bucks. Who are famous for what? Not a clothesline party.
Meltzer driver party.
Super kick party! That's right.
That.
Some of the greatest finishing maneuvers in the history of the game.
Stan Hansen's lariat.
Stop that.
Clothesline from hell.
No, I'm about to one-up my point about World Tour, but I'll get there in a second. Listen to some of these. Kinshasa. Daniel Bryan's knee plus. His yes kicks. HBK's sweet chin music.
Well, this is a super kick, man.
Kevin Nash's big boot. And two finishers that I'm going to speak on right now that is going to absolutely shut down your party. I mentioned the base hit in World Tour.
Yeah.
What move did you use to destroy me and Big Jim every time that game?
It was Glacier's standard sidekick.
It was Glacier's super kick. What maneuver felled Andre the Giant? The only person ever to kick out of this maneuver was one Psycho Sid, because otherwise it would have been a botched finish. The leg drop.
Leg drop's not really a strike, though. Leg drop's not a strike.
Emojin here is talking about lower body strikes. You are striking somebody.
You're
striking somebody because
you're essentially just falling somebody in a seated position.
Yes, and that is a strike going downwards. From the upper position, the hamstring is, you didn't know this, is one of the sharpest, most deadliest, densest muscles in your entire body.
Completely
and
incorrect.
That is why the leg drop is the most devastating move in all of professional wrestling. It always has been and always will be. So that's why I actually feel pretty good about that. I think I just won.
You get these hands in a second here, Steve.
Whoa. Anyways.
See, Braun Strowman didn't say you're going to get these feet.
Well, he's big.
Get these hands.
He's too big.
He does drop kicks.
Yeah, I know, but you know he's top heavy.
Get these hands.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it for Match Chat.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, all you lovely patrons out there, for your questions. You too can have your question here on Match Chat, and you'd get the Friendo Care Package with one pledge of $20. That'll get you 1 month full of having your face on our show.
Yeah.
And then if you want to still be on it, hey, kick in some of that sweet money again. Anyways, that's it for Match Chat. Thanks so much for watching. Until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.